Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hello, friends. This is indeed In the Loop on a Tuesday. Yeah. I want to make sure that
Friend.
Yes.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, I was like, look, man, I'm feeling the real UH. If you can't
you
tell
got the
today,
UH Cougar
I got
shirt
the Five Slammer Jamma shirt right, on. Right. Cougars won yesterday against TCU. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, you know, I'm just in that mood.
It's
I'm in that mode.
Together now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I figured I'd salute Jim Nance, Houston icon. But yeah, we're in the loop. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig here with you on this Tuesday. Texans Ticket Tuesday, by the way.
It is.
We giving away tickets.
You thought we was going to a playoff game?
To the playoffs, dog.
Playoffs. Meaningful football. And, you know, your friends at Sports Radio 610 got you covered.
I need to get some of them tickets, man. I ain't get no tickets all season.
12 o'clock hour.
Be listening, Figgy.
I tried to call.
Yeah.
12 o'clock hour. He said he tried to call. You're the one controlling the phones. What you mean? Don't say that, by the way. I feel like legally there might be some sketchy ground that we're standing
on. By the way, not just any tickets. Bullpen tickets, baby.
Yep. Got you taken care of here in the loop. All day long, in fact. Giving tickets away all day long. You know, the Painted Pendergast gave some away. You know that the drive will as well. But, you know, we got you covered. Also, you can get involved with the program, as always. YouTube's up. Sports Radio 610 there, Twitch 610 Houston, and of course the text line 713-572-4610. And I'm generally, what's your excitement level for this matchup, for this game? Because I feel like there's a level of optimism that's creeping back in for me. While it's like a healthy,
maybe here
there's a healthy skepticism still,
not but anywhere else.
I feel like there's a little bit of optimism creeping back in.
Intrigue more than anything. I don't know about excitement level optimism. Excited, of course, it's a playoff game, but optimism is sort of pretty flat right now. But intrigue is high. Intrigue is high because
I should have expected the word man to come with it. He's like, optimism doesn't quite define it. If I'm going to go by dictionary definition, intrigue is the right word.
Intrigue is the word for me because Texans, like, this is often thrown around, but it's true here. They're getting no respect. Like, no respect. Zero. Less than zero in some circles. And so the intrigue is, how are they going to respond to that? Will they respond to it? The old bulletin board material, all that stuff. Does it matter? Does it not matter? Et cetera. So there's a lot of intrigue on how this team, and also intrigue in some of the faces, some of the ways that this team's going to play, you know, because we did get a very, very brief glimpse of what the Texans we thought they could be this year in the last game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the big hopes that you have in that Week 18 matchup, a matchup that didn't matter, really. But you wanted to hope that you could recapture some of the better portions of what you could do, particularly offensively, but some of the better portions of your capabilities, show that you still have that in a bag and that you can bring that club out when needed and go and knock down the shot, right, to use the golf metaphor. And in this instance, like, now you are stepping up. Like, this is no longer the driving range. You are on the tee box. Can you get
big
it done?
Big difference from the driving range to the tee box.
Very true. Very true, especially because, like, yeah, man, this gets a lot more difficult. But I want to circle back into, like, the zero respect, because I've been interested in seeing how many people have been talking about this game and the ways they're talking about this game. And so let's do this. In my estimation, I was like, let's check in and see just how nationally people view this team. And I feel like we can start with the man who has been the most boisterous about this, and honestly and frankly, the most disrespectful about this. Y'all know about Rex Ryan?
Yeah, a little bit.
I feel like he was already situated perfectly for television as a dude. Like, that Ryan family in general just got they don't have a lot of give a damn, it feels like. Like, they just kind of moved to the beat of their own drum, which I appreciate, mind you, because I feel like in sports, we don't have enough of those characters, especially like as coaches. Right. And as we've beaten and media trained it out of folks. And for some reasons, I'm sure that's good, like especially for leagues and liabilities, but for like just entertainment value, we haven't done that to a great place. But here comes Rex Ryan with some of that old school value, and he directed that at the Houston Texans most recently.
Chargers wind up the 5 seed. They're going to Houston. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I never realized the Chargers got a bye, that they qualified for a bye, but they did because they're playing Houston.
Man, that is that, right between the eyes.
I mean, damn.
That is right between the eyes.
YouTube says y'all don't believe in them neither. I got questions.
Who said that?
I said
intrigue. I believe I used the word intrigue.
I was the one who said I have a little optimism. I think that there's capabilities.
I think they got a chance.
There's a possibility in there.
I think they got a chance.
It's always about execution. But like, yeah, I mean, they haven't done that frequently, but it was nice to see, and I understand one drive, right? But it was nice to see one drive of them going and doing some of these things. But yeah, man, there's generally a level of doubt, and that's really high on the doubt of them. But how about this when it comes to audio? Can you give me Matt Hasselbeck? This is Matt Hasselbeck breaking down this particular matchup with all the Texans versus the Chargers.
They're not a team like ascending. I think the Chargers defense is way better than people realize. They're a team to reckon with, probably in the second round of the playoffs. I don't know if the Texans can protect CJ Stroud the way they need to.
That's the takeaway.
Circle of wagons, man. That's what this is all about. It's zero respect. It's not made up. It's not an imaginary chip on your shoulder, as teams are want to do. This is real. Like there's no respect for this team, no expectation for the Texans to win, and that's where the intrigue for me comes in. Because to use your golf metaphor, and this is one that I've used often over the years, our listeners have heard me say this, you know, you're as good as your best golf shot. You know, you may only hit three of them in an 18-hole round, but you're as good as that. It's just a matter of can you dial it up again? Can you dial it up consistently?
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say is like what actually makes you good is how consistently you can do that. I feel like the allure of golf, or really like the siren song of golf, is that in any given round of 18, pretty much any level of golfer, unless you're absolutely putrid, will have at least one of those.
We golf heavy.
One of them shots.
In the first 7 minutes.
The comeback. Yeah, we there, baby.
The comeback shot is what I call them.
Yeah.
Makes you come back and play again.
Exactly. You have one of them shots where you're like, damn, if I could just do that consistently.
Yeah.
Which very much feels like the Texans this year,
Figgy's
right?
Uncomfortable, by the way. He's not a
I don't know what y'all talking about.
You ain't never swung the clubs? Not never?
Never.
We got to get you out to like top golf.
Hey, I ain't even watched golf when Tiger was playing,
it is,
man.
Wow, that is crazy.
I wasn't into it, man. I couldn't get into it, man.
Like that was a public sports story rather than just like even a golf story at that point. You really telling me that Tiger?
You didn't watch Tiger?
Sunday in the red.
I tried to, but it just wasn't my thing.
Okay, man. I mean, look, some things aren't for everybody. I get it.
I know who Tiger is, and I know the story, all that stuff. I know how dominant he is, but I just wasn't a golf person, man.
Yeah.
I do some tennis.
All about tennis.
At least you got one country club sporter. I respect that. But I did appreciate at least that Matt Hasselbeck was like trying to bring some analysis as opposed to Rex Ryan, who was just like burying the Texans just to do it. Like he was doing full morning show TV thing. What did you think of his like actual assessment of it, right? Talk about this Chargers defense. I know that the big thing that immediately people talk about with this Chargers defense is the scoring, right? Like they are the best scoring defense. But as we know, like in sport, in football, the scoring defense, like allowing the scores is not necessarily a full indication of how good you are defensively. And there's different metrics that you can look at that maybe would tell you that might be overhyped. He's saying that they are actually better than they are being given credit for in that regard.
I could appreciate it because it's not just scoring defense. We've talked a lot about, you know, their edge rushers against your tackles, and that's something that they can do and bring pressure. Look, I think what they can do is they can make you make a lot of mistakes. And, you know, the boys in the morning were talking about this as well, you know, the two high safeties. I don't know if anybody does it better than the Chargers either. So that's another thing that they can do quite well.
Yeah. I keep looking at just like and you know me, EPA success rate ended up being like the things that I check most frequently. And just this defensively, they're not standout in that way. But the thing that keeps coming back, I know D'Amico Ryan said this yesterday, just well-coached, man. This is a supremely well-coached team. And they have like some of the big players. You talked about the defense line, the big one that D'Amico was talking about. In fact, I probably should play this audio here to just hear how excited he was talking about him. But is Derwin James, right? Like the way that he comes around, the ways in which he shows up, right? Like, I think he was talking about how, you know, you have to, you know, account for him in the box whenever he is on the field. It's if he gets close to the box, you have to account for him because he comes with that physicality and gets into the backfield, those types of things, but also can range. And I do wonder, like, I remember when D'Amico was saying that, I was thinking to myself, is that going to pose a particular problem for this offense where they have to maybe max protect a little bit more? Because I think we did see more of that down the stretch as this team was trying to account for the fact that the offensive line, you know, pass protection was a struggle, where they kept some more people in and that had fewer people in routes, and maybe that allows you, or that does not allow you, to do as much down the field or pass the football as you typically want when you have fewer guys in routes and more, you know, more coverage capabilities for the defense.
Look, Derwin James is a true X factor. He's part linebacker, part safety, part, you know, X, you know, put him where you want. And that is absolutely something that the Texans have to account for. But the Texans, you know, getting back to how we started this, like, no respect, no, you know, everybody pretty much chalking this up as a W for the Chargers. I mean, are we too close? I mean, is it that obvious? Because keep in mind, Super Bowl odds come out after going into the postseason. Texans are either last or tied for last in terms of Super Bowl odds. In terms of like power ratings of the playoff teams, like three major outlets have that I saw, there could be more, have the Texans DFL, you know, dead last.
I was like, well, it doesn't help that my brain thought DHL, and I was like, what does logistics have to do with anything?
DFL, my bad. Let's call it dead last. In fact, one of those outlets used this quote for the Texans, quote, a lifeless shell of itself.
Damn. And this is one of the things that was the two-edged sword about the way that the schedule fell, right? Mm-hmm. Early on in the season, when we had, you know, high hopes and aspirations for C.J. Stroud in year two for, like, possibly even contending for MVP, what did we talk about? We talked about that last part of the schedule where you're playing these big teams and there's going to be a lot of visibility and it gives you an opportunity to bolster narrative cases about you.
Yeah.
Well, when you're playing poor football, or at least not as good football as you should be playing, those national television opportunities can put it to a negative perspective where now you are looking bad. Mm-hmm. And buddy, when you lay a stinker and you only put up 2 points, like, I think that also, like, has cut the other way where teams, I mean, people look real negatively at this team, but the defense has a level of respect and it should have a level of respect. The offense is I think the one that teams are looking at in a negative way, and I think
a lifeless shell of itself?
Yeah.
I mean, that's as bad as Rex Ryan, you know? And,
yeah.
And these are the pundits that are handicapping the field here as we get into the play. Even Justin Herbert, and I don't know if he meant to take a shot, but it could be kind of interpreted that way. He was asked about, you know, watching the Steelers and how he was reacting to that. And listen to what he said.
Did you get a chance to watch the end of the Steelers game yesterday?
No, I kind of followed along. You know, I was meeting and watching film, but I heard it in the other room, so I could tell that, you know, good things were happening, I guess.
Good things were happening? In other words, we get to face the Texans?
And we were talking about this yesterday. I thought you made a good point, right? At the very least, that might have been more about we don't have to face the Ravens immediately, which
that's how I kind of look
fair at play
it.
Right, like,
but that means you get to face the Texans.
That is right. That is right. And that is the way that a lot of teams have operated this. Yeah, man, I if anything, I hope that this level of, I guess, disrespect, if we want to put it that, I mean, if you I think there is some fair things, like, to point to with some of the doubt in this team. I mean, we have had our respective doubts on this particular show. But yeah, man, you hope that at least some of this disrespect, if you wish to call it that, at least goes to motivation for these dudes.
Yes.
Because as D'Amico Ryans has pointed to a lot of times, and I think he is right in some regards with this, right? A lot of the Texas issues are interior or internal, right? It's not the idea that, oh, this team is just outright better than you. Sometimes, like, hey, these are things that you can do and that you can handle up to help make yourself better. And maybe there's a level of pride or anger or what have you that get you to that place where you go, no, we are going to sustain blocks. We are going to make sure that we tackle and stay disciplined and make sure that we prove that, hey, man, no, y'all were wrong about us. Like, sometimes the strongest motivating factor is an opportunity to see egg on somebody else's face.
Yes.
And maybe, just maybe, that'll do something for these Houston Texans.
Yeah, and even D'Amico Ryans, he wasn't taking a shot at his own team by any stretch, but he was saying, let's erase everything yesterday live right here on our show. How many different ways did he say, we got to focus on now? You know, the past is the past. We're, you know, it's about what we, you know, what we can do this time. You know, basically saying, all right, you know, we know what the story was, but it's a new story now.
All right. Do you, I mean, we've talked about kind of how some other people nationally or, you know, media folks care about or are viewing this game.
Mm-hmm.
You care at all about Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons, he is one of the better defensive players in this league, plays for the Cowboys, but also he fashions himself or fancies himself a media personality. He's got his podcast or whatever. And he had a prediction for this particular wild card game.
Matchup, Chargers-Texans. I'm going with the Chargers. I think the Chargers have the most momentum going into this this game. Their defense been playing lights out. You know, you look at it, Justin Herbert's been playing great. I just think, you know, like Texans, another team who's battled injuries. But I think the Chargers are going to win this game. I'm going to take Chargers.
Yeah, and, you know, that one did kind of resonate with me as just another outlet, if you will, in this case, Micah Parsons, that really just doesn't see it happening for the Texans. Because Micah's friends, like really good friends, with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
You know, he likes the Texans, and he respects the Texans, but he's like, nah, man.
Yeah, I mean, what he said was kind of true, though. Yeah. I think the Chargers do have the most momentum in this game.
Yeah, they do, though.
Yeah, man. I mean, all we got is that first drive from Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's the momentum right there, because we can't count the last two games.
No, I mean, absolutely. The two games prior to that? Yeah, yeah, no, for sure.
Nah, we can't count those.
No, I absolutely feel you in that regard. So, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people that are doubting, and I feel you, right? From the 832, the doubt is justified, but I see the Texans' issues, a lot of injury and fatigue, and they're going to this game fresh and at home. Okay, so that does that count as a positive text that came in? Is that, can I put that
absolutely,
in?
Absolutely, yeah.
I think that's a positive.
If someone else mentioning that, you know, the rest of the league might as well have started a "We Want Houston" chant. Yeah, man, that this is the place that you are, and you've got to hope that the Texans find like something deep within themselves that drive them to say we're going to push against that, because that's what's going to be necessary.
How do you feel about bulletin board material, like actually being a factor?
I mean, as a dude who frequently goes towards like numbers and stuff, I think that it's probably over, like,
and you're not a momentum guy.
I am not. Yeah. I think that it's probably over, overplayed, like, talked probably a little bit too much about. However, I cannot deny that whatever motivates people. And especially like in sports, these dudes are built different. Like we spent a whole year, if not more, fawning over Michael Jordan in the 10-part documentary where basically he was fabricating motivation out of nowhere. And everybody was like, well, see, that is how you become great. Right? Yeah. Like, I do think that there is something to be said for the fact that these things motivate these guys, and these guys find the motivation where they need to. And maybe this is the motivation that's necessary for these Texans to like start playing the best football that they've played this year.
Yeah, I think it depends where the motivation come from, the bulletin board material come from. I think if it come from like a team or something like that, or some players from the other team, then I think that kind of can juice it up a little bit. But I don't know if they looking at ESPN and saying, look what Rex Ryan said about y'all. Let's show him.
And I'm kind of between both of you. I do think momentum in certain instances can be a real thing. But I also feel like this bulletin board material in certain instances can be a real thing. It sounds crazy to say, oh, they'll be more focused. Man, it's the playoffs. You got to be focused anyway.
Correct.
But at the same time, I think there is a certain amount of extra in there. Yeah, I don't know what it is. If it's in meetings, if it's on the field, if it's in practice, whatever. I think sometimes that little something gets people a little extra, whether it's push or focus or something.
I think that happened last year, man, in the playoffs, because ain't nobody give the Texans a chance to win against the number one defense in the league.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And they went out there and whooped that ass.
Yeah, they did.
So, hey, it seems like people are rallying around with the notion of the underdog Texans. And I kind of like it, man. Like, hey, if you're going to have an opportunity. And this is what sports is about, right?
Yeah.
Like,
why it's intriguing.
Yes. How many movies have we seen about the underdog coming up beating the team that is favored. Now, of course, usually those are like David and Goliath stories. I don't think that you could paint this one as that. But
Texans are the little giants.
All right, sure. Why not? you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going on a Tuesday. We're going to have B. Scott in at 11 o'clock hour. But coming up next, the coaching carousel has not stopped. More things going on, including could this team possibly trade their coach? We'll talk about it next.